We're talking about the church, and so far we've talked about what the church is not. We've talked about when the church began. We've talked about the connection between the church and salvation. And today we want to zero in on the word church in the Bible and see what the word church means. How is the word church used in the Bible? So we're going to enter into a Bible study of this word church. Now, the word church means an assembly. It means a congregation. As a matter of fact, the word for church, I'm talking about the Greek word that is translated church in your Bible, is also translated assembly in Acts chapter 19, verse 39 and 41. And there, it doesn't refer to the church as the body of the saved at all. It's just an assembly of people. So what I'm saying is the basic idea of the word church is an assembly. It is a congregation. Now, sometimes the church is described as the called out. Well, that's implied, but the focus really is on the being together part. It emphasizes where they are, not where they came from. Now, in the scriptures, you're going to find that in the New Testament, the word church is used in three different ways. First of all, the word church that you read in the New Testament sometimes refers to the whole church. That is, the entire universal church. Now, that's the use that you find in Matthew 16, verse 18, when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He's not talking about a particular congregation of the church there. He's talking about the church as a whole. This is what we find in Acts 20, verse 28, where the Bible talks about the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Well, there again, he's talking about the church in general. He's talking about the church in what we would call the universal sense. So first of all, sometimes the word church is talking about the church as a whole. It's talking about the church in its entirety. Now, the second way that the word church is used in the Bible is to refer to a local congregation of the body of Jesus Christ. For instance, when Paul writes the book of 1 Corinthians, he addresses it to the church of God which is at Corinth. He's not talking to the church as a whole. He's talking to that particular congregation. So when you get to Galatians chapter 1, verse 2, you find that Paul there is writing to the churches of Galatia. Not just one church, but he's writing to the different congregations in that area. In Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, we find that Jesus is talking to the seven churches of Asia. That is, the seven different congregations in that area. The third way that the word church is used in the Bible is to refer to a worship assembly of a local congregation. And I do want to spend most of our time this morning talking about this because I believe that this is the part that is oftentimes misunderstood the most. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to begin reading in verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll look down at verse 17. Here Paul says to the church at Corinth, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." Notice what he says in verse 18. He says, "When you come together in the church," that's not the church building. That is the church assembly. He's talking about them coming together in the assembly to worship God. He goes on and talks about it in verse 20 by saying, "When you come together, therefore, into one place." That again is what we sometimes refer to as the worship assembly. So sometimes in your Bible, when you see the word church, the Bible is referring with that word to the worship assembly of the saints. Now, this is not just any get-together of these Christians. This is not them getting together for a Bible class or for different Bible classes. This is the worship service where they have the Lord's Supper, where the gospel is preached, where you have the Lord's Supper and you have the singing, you have the contribution and you have the prayers. That's the setting of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Because in this setting, he says in verse 20, when you come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now what he's saying there is that the Corinthians had abused the purpose of the worship assembly. Now, obviously, when we come together on the first day of the week, we are supposed to have the Lord's Supper. Acts 20, verse 7 says that the disciples came together to break bread on the first day of the week. That's the purpose of the gathering to begin with. But these Corinthians were not doing what was right. These Corinthians had abused that principle because they were turning the Lord's Supper into a common meal. And he makes that clear in verse 21 when he says, for in eating, everyone takes before other his own supper. So he's not telling these Corinthian Christians that they don't have to have the Lord's Supper. He's telling them the way that they're doing it is wrong because they were replacing the Lord's Supper with their own common meal. Now then, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you're going to find several times in this chapter the word church. And you're going to find that it refers to this worship assembly of the local congregation there at Corinth, and of course, by principle, by application, to any local congregation of God's church today as it assembles together to worship. Now, notice what Paul says in verse 4. In this chapter, you're going to find that he says a lot about speaking in tongues. So, we're not going to emphasize and discuss the issue of speaking in tongues. What I want you to notice is where this was being done, the setting of it. In verse 4, he says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Well, that can't be the whole church because the whole church is not there. That must be the assembly of a local congregation, and obviously here, he's talking about the church at Corinth. And it's also very evident here that he's not talking about the church building. Because he says that he that prophesies edifies the church. That is, the one prophesying builds up and strengthens spiritually the church. That absolutely cannot mean the church building, and as we've observed, the word church in the Bible never refers to a building. Well, let's skip down to verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19. Paul, again, here is emphasizing the need to translate those languages that the gospel was being preached in by these tongue speakers. And basically what he's saying in this chapter is this. If people don't understand what you're saying when you speak in tongues, you're not doing them any good. So you need to have an interpreter there. So in verse 19 he says, yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Paul said, I'd rather say five words that people can understand than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Why? Because those 10,000 words in an unknown tongue are not going to edify or do anybody any good whatsoever. But notice the word church. Yet in the church, that is in this assembly, where the local congregation has come together. Now then, let's go down to verse 23. Here Paul said, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? Now what Paul is doing here is correcting these people, because they were speaking out of turn, they were trying to talk over each other, they were competing with each other, they were showing out in the worship assembly, and they were being disorderly. So Paul says, if all of you at the church at Corinth are speaking in tongues at the same time, and somebody comes in that's a visitor that doesn't understand this, they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to say that you're mad. But notice that he says the setting is this. The whole church comes together into one place. That has always been God's will from the beginning of the church, that a local congregation come together on the first day of the week and assemble together. You see, again, this is not a Bible class that he's talking about here specifically. This is the worship assembly. That's the meaning of the church. Now, let's go down to verse 34 and 35, because here I believe that this becomes even more important to understand. In 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, Paul said, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." The church here, again, is not the church building. Paul is not saying that it is a shame for a woman to speak anywhere at any time in a church building. That's not what he means. The word church here refers to the worship assembly. You see, again, he is not talking about a Bible class here. He's not talking about women participating in. Now, leading the discussion is a separate matter because men are to do that, 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. But here the setting is the worship assembly, where you have not only male leadership, but you have these specific rules about the role of women in those worship assemblies. Let your women keep silence in the churches. They're not to participate by saying, "Hey, preacher, would you please explain what you just said?" They're not to interrupt in that way. They're not to speak out publicly in that worship assembly and take a part in the public teaching of the Word of God in that worship assembly. Now, again, when we look at the word church, it's very important for us to understand here the meaning of that word as the worship assembly, and certainly not a Bible class, and even more so, certainly not a church building. Now, there's one other issue that I want to deal with pertaining to the meaning of the word church, and it deals with Acts 7, verse 38. If you want to be turning ahead, Acts 7, verse 38. Because there the Bible talks about the church that was in the wilderness, and that must refer to the Israelite nation. Acts 7, verse 38, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai." Now that goes all the way back to Moses, and it talks about the church being back there in Old Testament times. Now we've already looked at the fact that the church did not start until Pentecost day of Acts chapter 2. So why is the Bible here talking about the church being back in the Old Testament? Well, it's not the same church that Jesus died for. It's not the same meaning of the church that we've been looking at in this lesson and in this series of lessons. The word church there in Acts 7 verse 38 is used in the generic sense of an assembly. Here it means the general idea of the assembly of the Israelite people. Remember, the word for church in the Bible is translated assembly in Acts 19, verse 39 and verse 41, because there it refers to a crowd of people and not the body of Jesus Christ. Here in Acts 7, verse 38, the word church is just a general word for the Israelite people, the assembly of the nation of Israel. So let us be sure we mean what the Bible means when we use the word church.